Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Okay, not to dive right into the most controversial topic at the moment, but
Oh my God.
But do you know what your hair reminds me of?
What? What?
It reminds me of when Blake Lively was promoting her hair care brand and women would show up with their beautifully blown out hairdos and she would spray in her, I don't even remember the, what's it called?
Brown.
Bumblebee.
Brown.
Was it called Brown? Her hair care line?
Let me look that up.
Are you going off like Betty Buzz? Like
Blake
her?
Brown.
No.
Really? I feel I may have even been closer than you.
Wow, you were closer than me.
Blake Brown.
So they would show up and their hair was like beautiful, perfect, like completely straight, like just never looked better. And she'd be like, you know what this needs? A little bit of muss. A little bit of fuss, a little bit of muss. And she would just like fuck it up. She would literally just like, and for you, like it really suits you. Like you have natural curls. Like you can pull off the like just got out of bed, just like had a full romp, you know, with a French lover.
Of course.
Type of aesthetic. But a lot of these women were like white women and they walked out of there like looking like Cher in the early 90s, which is not a look like many can pull off.
And there is this idea of like undone, but like some people are more comfortable with it done, you know?
I am one.
Yeah.
I'm like hand on heart would rather be done.
And I can't really do a slicked back. Like I don't look like myself when I have like a perfect little prim slick back bun with like the part exactly right. Like I don't know what to do with that.
I know my sister once told me she looks like a thumb and it took me like a while, and I understand like to look like a thumb is that is a type of that
staring
that,
myself in the eyes
holding up your thumb. I've seen this before. No, I fully understand that. There is like a there's something bald going on there. I've actually never asked like any type of man if they like that look. Do you know, that's so great. None of us have ever been like, how do you feel about a like a slick?
No, I feel like the only looks I like, I know how they feel is pigtails and high ponytails.
Okay, the tips that you get.
I know. It's drastically different.
I've never been stopped on the street so much as the one day I wore my hair in literal pigtails. Not two braids. Pigtails.
Oh, pigtails.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You add a couple ribbons in there and
it's
giving
you can't
statutory.
You can't walk 2 feet.
No.
You can't walk 2 feet, can you? No. It's not a great part of our society's treatment of women, young girls, the
way
we look.
It doesn't bode well, does it?
No, it doesn't.
My God.
Also, what? Not to then move on to the next most controversial thing that's happening right now, but I am seeing way too many jokes. Like
jokes?
Sexy, quippy.
Okay.
I saw a friend's dating app. People joking about ditty parties.
Oh.
What is going on?
No, stop.
A guy introduced himself and said, I placed fourth at Diddy's freak party.
Are you
and then I'm seeing like Instagram of people being like, ditty party. And it's like, wait. Are people not aware of what happened at those? It wasn't fun.
Oh,
for
my
everyone.
God.
And I, what?
I mean, the reports were so outrageous. It became, and this is like what's so unfortunate. Even like Weinstein, right?
Yeah.
When it is so tragic and horrifying and outrageous, it becomes comical. And like, that's what, I mean, you couldn't go to an award show without some comedian monologuing. When I went up to that hotel room with a producer, I didn't get the gig.
Oh my God.
It became that because people were just like, tragedy. Tragedy, but the age-old equation.
Of course. No, that's so true. And I also think the more extreme it gets, the more we become desensitized to it. It's like two people died. Everyone can understand like,
yeah,
that's horrible. Like 100 people died. Everyone's kind of like, oh, well, yeah.
I heard some backlash to Nikki Glaser's monologue about the Diddy Party references, mostly because the victims like weren't in the room. But then the survivors of Weinstein aren't necessarily laughing along either. That's incredibly traumatic for them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect the survivors of Diddy to be watching the 65th Golden Globes.
No.
It is just how absurd the details of the Diddy claims were, the allegations. Like, it was the you know, the 10,000 bottles of baby oil or whatever came out of it. People just took it and ran with it.
And ran the wrong direction.
I mean, to put it in your, Bumble bio? What? Olive oil over baby oil any day? Like, what are they saying?
Madness. Do you know what's inspiring you this week?
Yeah, I do have an inspiration.
Hit me with it.
It's part entrepreneurship and it's part naivete. And it's part folie à deux, the delusion of two.
Oh.
There's a lot going on.
Let me sit by myself.
Take a long, large sip because we're about to dive in. No, I got pickpocketed on Saturday night, which has never happened to me.
What?
I've traveled the world, Ivana Ryder. I've traveled the world.
Yeah.
And I got pickpocketed a mile from my home.
No.
In a restaurant, no less. Not in a club. In a restaurant.
Oh my God.
In a restaurant. And I got, and not just pickpocketed, not brush, not like I left my bag somewhere and somebody picked it up. I got worked over. Like, I got conned.
What?
Like, okay, it's crazy. Okay, let me set the scene. I walk into a restaurant with my friend. Restaurant's super busy. They say, you're going to have to take a seat by the bar and just wait until your table's ready. We say, no problem. We walk over to a bar and there's kind of an older couple, maybe in their 50s. And they signal us and they say, girls, we're about to leave. But they haven't got their check, nothing. They're just kind of like finish their drinks. So they tell the bartender, hey, you know, we're ready to leave. They put their credit card down. In the meantime, the woman of the couple starts getting up. And we go, no, you don't have to do that. Please, like, take your time.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to rush out of here. We're happy just, like, chilling. And she goes, no. She stands up and we immediately think she's either maybe drunk or maybe, like, mentally ill, because what happens next is very, very strange. She first hugs my friend and kind of, like, rubs her up and down. So hugs her and then just kind of, like, rubs her back, rubs her arms. Like, she just rubs her up and down.
Yeah.
And then she turns to me and hugs me. And I've still got my coat on, everything. And she hugs me tightly and then rubs me up and down. And while she's doing that, her partner turns to my friend and says, I'm sorry, could you just read my receipt right here? I think I just, so dark in here, I can't read the number just for how much I should tip. And my friend goes over and says, it says $26. He goes, oh my God, thank you so much. They tip, they leave. I go to pay. At the end of the night, I don't have my wallet.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's crazy. Did you figure it out immediately?
No. So I have never lost a wallet. Actually, have never lost a wallet.
Yeah, I'm also right there with you. I'm not a wallet loser.
Not a wallet. I'll lose anything else. I'll lose a phone.
Yeah, even then, I really don't lose. I don't crack a phone. I don't lose a phone.
Actually, you know what? I don't lose a phone. I lie. I tried to throw it out there, but I actually don't.
You're trying to make yourself more reliable. You're like, no, trust me. I eat pizza too.
I got worked over. And part of me had to, like, respect the hustle.
Absolutely.
We're in the middle of fires. There's a lot of recovery efforts going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough times out there. You know?
Yeah.
I really went, you know, community.
Yeah.
Community in the wake of tragedy.
We're each other's home. Yeah.
I also was, you know, completely Les Miserables that I had to go and get another driver's license.
And then that's why you were at the DMV.
That's why I was at the DMV. But on the bright side, I was like, I hate my driver's license photo. I get a redo. But alas, I did not.
Oh.
They simply said, here you go. Here's your temporary license. New one will be arriving in the mail. And I said, fuck. I did my hair and makeup for nothing.
For nothing.
Right.
I did that last time I went to the DMV and I was, like, so sure that the photo was going to be, like, the best. I was looking at the photo of Kylie Jenner, like, seconds before
that photo of Kylie Jenner has, I see it in my dreams. Yeah. I see it every time I close my eyes.
Yeah.
We have to set ourselves free from that goddamn photo of Kylie Jenner.
It's, like, the best photo that's ever been taken of anybody.
Of anybody. And it is, there is a ring light in the background. There is hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Makeup by Mario, 1 foot out of the frame. Someone is touching up her hair as we speak. And do you know what else, Ivana? I'll tell you what else. She is taking one of those photos and going, how about a redo?
That's so true.
How about
That's
another so one, actually?
That's so true. It was
no man mortal is going to pull, c- come through with a Kylie Jenner driver's license photo.
I thought I got close because I got the hair right. I was like one over the shoulder, one off the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the magic, because otherwise, God forbid, you go in with a ponytail, you look bald.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I think I'm rather close. And unfortunately, the issue is never what you think it's going to be. And
it was the face.
It was the forehead specifically. The flash gleamed so hard off the forehead right. that all you see, I mean, my third eye looks like it's about to explode off the driver's license. It's yes. just like a white flash in the middle of my forehead.
Mine was the turtleneck.
The turtle.
I don't know why I did it. It was a cold, wintry day. The yeah. day I took my California driver's license. Could not be less appropriate. And I just look like Carmen Sandiego or something. I look like a fucking international spy. You've seen it. You laughed.
I like it.
I remember you laughing. And you can't take that back.
I can't recall. Me in the court of law.
Me shining a harsh spotlight on you. Did you or did you not laugh? No, I really do remember it. And it stayed with me, that laugh. It echoes.
I feel like I'm humbled all the time because sometimes I turn around and all I get from Steven is like a full-bellied laugh. And if I really think hard about it, it's like to be looked at and just screaming laughter to follow, like hollering at just the sight of you.
But I would rather that. I've been thinking about this a lot, mm-hmm. watching the Real Housewives reunion, watching the husbands kind of emerge on screen, you know, fighting for their wives, fighting for their lives.
Right.
I would rather that than a beta. I'd take that any day over yeah. a beta, over a John Barlow.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
I know.
I just have no respect.
Yeah. It's tough. And I'm not even really someone that's like, you know, I've always been looking for a man.
Mm-hmm.
But then when sometimes you see your man be a man, you're like,
cheers to you, sir.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that. I appreciate that. And when you see someone not do it, it is kind of a can't help but scrunch the nose.
No, exactly right. Do you have your inspiration this week?
Well, I also had a run-in at a restaurant. And it actually was profound. Me and Steven went to get a glass of wine at Stir Crazy in Los Angeles.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, very
beautiful
cute.
Little wine bar.
Yeah, so
great
cute.
Great charcuterie.
Yeah. And we truly just went, like, we had like onion dip and chips and a glass of wine.
It's so good there.
Yeah. Yep. And who walks in but Kyle MacLachlan.
On the week of David Lynch's passing?
Yes.
No.
And he walked
way.
In and there was something about, well, like, one, I was very starstruck because I also very recently watched Blue Velvet and was just like, and I mean, follow him on social media.
Can I just interrupt to say one more thing?
Yeah.
That man is upwards of 55.
Yeah.
And that bar is a bar, I'm going to say, for the 25 to 35-year-old range. It's a very young, hip, happening place.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Kyle MacLachlan knows it exists.
And clearly he's the regular. The owner was like, come sit in your usual spot. And I was like, this is sick, because that is exactly what I thought. I was like, oh my God, there's hope for us yet in our old age to know a cool little spot that's like tucked away. You would honestly drive right past it. Like nothing is pulling you in. There's no like neon sign. There's no like, you know, horde of people outside like El Prado and Echo Park.
I mean, there's no valet.
There's no valet. And he walks in and instantly I was like, oh my God, like this man lost one of his like dearest friends this week, a collaborator, someone he's like worked with forever. And here he is getting a glass of wine, like laughing. And I was like, oh my God, grief is so interesting.
Wow.
There was something about it that was so moving to me.
You never said anything, obviously.
No. But I was very proud of my outfit that I was in. It felt very David Lynch. I honestly, hugely inspired by you. I've bought my first pair of capris. I have a pair of capris inspired by you, but also actually inspired by my baby sister, Simona, who had them. And I said, where are those from? And they were like, Target. And I said, okay, get in the car. We're going. And we went and we all bought a pair.
But you do always surprise me. I Kyle MacLachlan this week.
Yeah.
Last week was, I think, literally cheese crackers.
It was bread. And I tried. I tried to talk about how I'm dreaming again after a long period of not dreaming.
So you getting your arms around your inspiration is just like, it's like catching butterflies in the wind.
It is. In the wind, blindfold on.
Oh my God. But speaking of getting your arms around something.
And speaking of butterflies in the wind.
Which is
Montecito.
Okay, before we get into them.
Yeah.
I mean, usually we provide a little bit of cultural context. What's going on? This profile It's our first of 2025. It came out in 2025. Oh my God, it came out last week. And the only thing that's going on outside of Mr. Donald Trump's inauguration, mm-hmm. which I'm choosing not to speak of and kind of not acknowledge in this moment, is the Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively ongoing battle.
Yeah.
I really can't believe it because it was, I want to say, December 19th that this all kicked off. And we are now end of January.
Yeah.
And it continues. And it continues with the same further of the beginning. It is like a wildfire. It just does not stop. It just keeps simmering and then it bursts into flame again and then goes back down and bursts again. And I think the TikTok theorists have it. I think they've finally got it. We came on and we talked about the fact that there have been some theories that she might have had a crush. There might have been some flirtation back and forth and it didn't pan out well. But what has come to pass now? And I don't know if you've heard this. Have you kind of?
No, I was going to wait for you to explain it to me on the pod.
So, I mean, people have like deep dive read, like as you did, the full countersuit from Baldoni.
And his is much longer.
And his
is like 260 pages or something.
1000%. And also you've seen the clip of that he shared. And what was really interesting about the clip is she cites one of the incidents from the clip in her lawsuit where she says that he nuzzled her neck with his lips and he said, you smell good. And in fact, that context, as was revealed in the clip, was they were on set in a scene in character and he was referencing her spray tan and she was like, I'm getting my spray tan on you. And he says, it smells good. But it kind of plays into one prevailing theory that keeps coming out from all the smarties mm-hmm. online.
The red stringers.
And there's one woman, my God, I wish I could remember her handle because she's a genius. I want to say her name's Dana, but she's a former casting director. Mm-hmm. And she seems to have got it spot on. She has been saying forever that they had incredible chemistry in the movie. She was like, I know chemistry and you guys are going to roast me for this, but I swear to God, they have it. Mm-hmm. And she went on to say that there was maybe a bit of attraction on Blake's side. But really what transpired was like a deep friendship, was mm-hmm. like a real friendship. Her idea of Ryan Reynolds is that he's quite controlling. His previous partners, Alanis Morissette and Scarlett Johansson, have publicly said that he was jealous as a partner over their success in the industry. And that he probably wants a wife that is, you know, not
an A-lister necessarily in her own right.
Exactly. And when she takes on this role and she's suddenly texting her co-star director late at night and they're having this kind of friendly banter and it's like, I like sentimental Blake and like, and I also like asshole Blake, and she's like, never met her, like I've met her, so have my suppositories, like this kind of like flirtatious banter. Mm-hmm. He's reading these texts, he sees this, he comes across it and he goes like, what the hell is this? And she goes, he's making me really uncomfortable. It's all coming from his side. I'm feeling really weird about it. And then Ryan kicks up a massive fuss and it snowballs from there. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a realistic portrayal of probably what went down, because mm-hmm. even to read their texts and to see how they're interacting on set, it does seem like two people who were in like, mm-hmm. who genuinely kind of liked each other. I would never text a coworker like that unless I was really like, you're really cool. Like I really enjoy your presence.
You're really cool.
I enjoy your presence. And like, I love bantering with you. This is such a fun back and forth. Like we're having a repartee here.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what has gone down, what has transpired. She took a big hit publicly in the wake of this film and she rallied the cast behind her, and Colleen Hoover, who had a longstanding relationship with Justin Baldoni, 5-year relationship, also got behind her and now has had to walk back, has deleted her Instagram.
Damn.
Fascinating. The latest is Blake and Ryan asking for a gag order on Justin Baldoni's lawyer.
Who's oh, like, yeah.
'Cause the response from him was, I'm so sorry. Was your original suit not published in the New York Times before anything else? Like all your evidence, didn't that come out in conjunction with the New York Times? Not just the aggregated by the New York Times.
Formally released
by the New York Times. And he's like, and you have the audacity to ask me to not release, you know, discovery evidence on behalf of my client.
Oh my God.
It is such a mess. And I think what people are saying is like, she's got to settle. Like, she's just got to settle at this point.
Well, what is crazy, and we forget about this, and I just went through this as I was suing my landlord, is like when you bring something to trial, mm-hmm. there is a real chance that you will lose.
Yes.
There's a real chance. And then that's final. There's no, like, you know, you can appeal the decision or whatever it is, but especially with cases that are this public, it's like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard. It was everywhere and everyone had an opinion. And this is the closest thing I've seen to that, of like every single person off the street, even people who don't keep up with pop culture, have an opinion on like Justin is a monster, or like, you know, this is just like his reputation, or this is just like her reputation. Like,
it's all ego at this point. It's the battle of the egos. But the difference is so extreme, right? If Justin rolls, he has to accept the title of sexual harasser.
Mm-hmm.
And if Blake rolls, it's just that she lied.
Mm.
I mean, Justin got dropped by WME. When it comes to reputation, more is on the line mm-hmm. with an accusation of sexual harassment.
I mean, I just wonder how it's all going to end. I really do.
I mean, it ends with...
It ends with
court.
Us.
Court.
Yeah, court. I know.
Jesus Christ.
And but the sequel, my God. I mean, it doesn't matter. The movie was... The fact that... It was not good.
I mean,
I also did not find their chemistry to be something special in the movie, but maybe that is because I have like sub-zero level of attraction to him, so like I couldn't imagine a world in which someone is.
Oh, I'm attracted to him. I find him beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think he's very like Adonis-like. Like he's
Adonis-like.
He's not my type,
yeah.
But I like completely understand. He is so many women's type.
Yeah.
He's like very masculine and has that like strong nose, very Roman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And like jaw. He's like jaw, nose, pecs, and arms.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that is like pretty quintessentially hot to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's kind of the opposite of Ryan Reynolds in many ways, who is that boyish, handsome.
The cookie type.
Yeah. One could say He's Yossified Ben Badgley, who is Blake Lively's ex.
Yeah. That similar hair.
Yeah.
Movement, texture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fascinating. But that is...
That's what's going on
right
now.
That's what's going on right now, 2025.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, the absolute wildfire of the White House and the wildfire in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Just hundreds of executive orders.
Yeah. Not get into that.
No.
But speaking of power, these two want it.
Yeah.
And they're doing all that they can to try and get it. My God. This was a bombshell kind of expose, I would say. I'm not even going to call it a profile because it's an expose.
It is.
This is like the first time I think we've done a profile that doesn't have direct input from the subjects.
Other than our first episode.
Oh, my God. Wow, beautifully full circle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a write around, a journalism term that we use when either the subjects have like actively denied comment or they literally just couldn't get a hold of them. They couldn't track them down.
No.
And they decided to go ahead with it anyway.
Yeah.
But this is the case where Harry and Meghan refused to comment and they still went ahead and interviewed everyone close to them. Employees, members of their household, former staff, neighbors, mm-hmm. friends, gossip columnists, royal commentators, you name it. Anna Peel got to them. And if you recognize the name Anna Peel, it's because we have covered her before. She is a modern marvel. She wrote the profile on Miles Teller. And if you don't remember that one,
it's good.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
It basically skewered him. He compared his penis to a highball glass in that profile. One quote that particularly stays with me is when he ordered her an Uber and then she brought up like the recent like sexual assault like accusations against Uber, and he was like, oh, like I'm requesting a do not rape service, so you'll be all good.
That's so funny.
He's really funny. He's a funny guy. She wrote another incredible investigative feature on Bravo, Inside the Real Housewives Reckoning, that's rocking Bravo. And mm-hmm. That had everything from substance abuse to racist behavior and all the behind the scenes issues that were plaguing Bravo productions. And it was Vanity Fair's most read story in 2023.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
She's an amazing reporter.
This piece, I mean, she knocks it out of the park. Without further ado, should we just
dive in?
Okay. Inside Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's big business ambitions, 5 years after their royal exit. She opens here. on their home, the Montecito Mansion, worth $14.65 million.
A lot of numbers in this profile.
Yes.
Which I found really interesting.
No, she like comes with kind of just receipts, like statistics.
Yes,
like
just facts.
Facts.
Just facts. Facts. Of like, and that was 30 million and this was 14.65.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an 18,000 square foot house, just so you know. The house proved it. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex could have it all. Their Montecito home offered all the fresh promises of a 21st century California mansion and the cloistering of a gated neighborhood from which they could emerge on their own terms. In the house's 13 fireplaces, described as mostly centuries-old examples brought over from France, there was even some European history, stripped of any potentially uncomfortable context. So here we are. They have just left the royal family. They have landed in Montecito. This is 2020. And 5 years later in 2025, they have expanded. They've had Spotify deals. They've had Netflix deals. They've created Archwell, which is their nonprofit and entertainment studio.
The American Riviera Orchard.
Oh my God. How could we forget?
Home Goods and Sundries shop.
I remember hearing that name and thinking, what in the world?
What is that?
Is this? But
what is that?
As it turns out, Santa Barbara is nicknamed American Riviera.
I didn't know that, and I got married there.
Yes.
I would have done it all differently if I had known that.
But this, I think, really kind of rankled the neighbors in Montecito because they were like, Montecito isn't even fucking Santa Barbara. Oh. Like, you're trying to monetize everything and nothing is kind of real or genuine. Like, you live in Montecito, baby girl, and Montecito is still like 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
And it was Jams, right?
Jam, yes.
Jam.
Yes, I think it was Jam. I mean, I'm sure they'll expand, but starting with Jam. Getting into the Jam business.
I know.
I've never thought to do it.
And we love the stuff.
And we love a Jam.
Yeah. My grandma, she makes Jam in Serbia.
But have you thought of getting into the Jam trade?
No. Could be.
How are these Jam businesses doing? Like, that's what I want to know.
Unlid? Unlid.
What do you mean?
Our Jam offshoot of Uncover Girl.
Unlidded.
Unlid.
Unlid.
Unlidded.
Unlidded.
Unlid it.
Unlid it.
Unlid it.
That's strong. I like
sort
it.
Sort of a cheese it. A nod to a cheese it.
Yes.
Nod to the Uncover Girl name.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
We'll keep workshopping.
Yeah,
that's not the final.
Yeah. Leaving the royal family has brought tests for the couple. Legal, financial, reputational, personal, and practical. Going from divinely chosen, or at least chosen by someone else who is divinely chosen, members of a 1,200-year-old institution to startup founders in exile is a tough adjustment. But there has also been opportunity. Over many months, Vanity Fair spoke with dozens of people who have worked with and lived alongside the couple to understand the impacts they've had on their coastal California community and the challenges of enacting the ambitions of the two first-time CEOs. Harry and Meghan declined to be interviewed for this article.
Crazy.
Okay, I'm going to say it up top. This is probably a 20,000-word piece. It is very, very long.
Yeah, and dense.
It's dense. And everything is relevant.
Yeah.
It's like,
I know.
It's so hard because in so many of the pieces that we cover, it's like, we'll just skip all that. Yeah. We'll just run past all that.
The middle bit.
All that meat in the middle can just get thrown right out.
Yeah.
But this is like, it feels like there's nothing that can be bypassed. She does such an incredible job. Okay, so she launches straight into all their initiatives and all the things that they tried to make happen, so to speak. It's so much that it's actually overwhelming, and I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Meghan tried to set up this thing called the 40x40 initiative, where she asked 40 well-known friends, such as like Melissa McCarthy and Canada's First Lady, to spend 40 minutes on Zoom mentoring a woman returning to the workplace in the wake of the pandemic. There was, of course, the Jam.
Yeah.
American Riviera Orchard. They have like a second podcast coming after the first podcast didn't do well. But of course, Archetypes was the first podcast, in case you
missed it.
We spoke of it.
We spoke of it once in our Meghan Markle episode.
Of course.
It was
fine.
Although it does not have a title, this new podcast, or a kind of a concept yet. Or if it does, that hasn't been released. There is a docuseries called Polo, which premiered in December, and that features kind of some of Harry's friends, and a reality show that's coming called With Love, Meghan. That is a Martha Stewart-esque vibe, blending how-tos and candid conversations with friends new and old. And that was supposed to come out, I guess, last week.
Yeah.
Timed with this article. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But alas, with the fires, it was pushed to March 4th. So Meghan could focus on the needs of those impacted by the wildfires in her home state of California. That was her official statement. Mm-hmm. Jane Marie, who collaborated with the couple while they developed their audio projects at Archwell and later produced a podcast with Michelle Obama, said, "They have this naivete and their hopefulness about what's possible in terms of storytelling and good works and all those things. I wish I had that kind of optimism."
I know. I know. That as one of the first like real like meaty quotes, I feel like really kicks it off in such an interesting way.
I mean, to even start with, there are so many quotes in this piece. To start with misplaced optimism,
I know,
is just buck
like
wild.
Out of touchness, which, yes, I feel like has been the biggest.
Mama, yeah. You just extracted the thesis and you just spat it in our face.
I know.
That those three words, out of touch,
out of touch,
what this whole article boils down to,
which is why I'm so excited and I will be watching With Love, Meghan, because I can't wait.
I love it.
I love a woman to explain to me that boysenberry jam is actually very simple. You just need to source the boysenberries from somewhere where they're out of season and hit your farmer's market, and a rainbow chard and sourdough. Actually, it might take 4 hours, but it's a worthwhile investment.
Well, the difference I feel like between you and I is because you are culinary and you have an eye for such things. Like, I watched that trailer and it went right over my head. I just was kind of like, what is Mindy Kaling doing here? You watched that trailer and you noticed that she was putting together a hummus plate.
Yeah.
Why did they have her put together simply a hummus plate? Could she not have worked on more of a complex dish?
I know. It's like, yeah, it's like her cutting carrots lengthwise.
Yes.
And being like, this can be...
She's like, anything can be special.
Yeah.
Anything. I did notice one moment. And this is because I come from a long line of bakers, as I've said. And when she cut into that cake, it was dry. It was dry. And you know that simply by the way the knife goes in. Anyone who's watched at least 3 episodes of Great British Bake Off knows a moist cake when they see it.
That's
simply
true.
By the cut.
I know.
And the way she went down and pulled out a slice, and Mindy Kaling said something to the effect of, "This is the most glamorous moment of my life." I said, no one is going to taste that cake and call it glamorous. Fuck. Not a soul.
It's true. And overbaked is so off. I mean, you can't come back from it.
So optimism abounded as the couple embarked on their Spotify deal in 2020, both for them and for those who were coming in to help do the work. So one person, unnamed, who helped them work on their media projects, was such a fan going in and really thought like they had the role of a lifetime. It seems like this was going to be the sickest slate of projects ever. I mean, Harry had a uniquely difficult upbringing. Still, you know, his mother is one of the most famous women of all time. Meghan was defending herself after years of shoddy treatment and racism, either from the British press or from members of her husband's family.
And they have the means. It's like, oh, imagine if you could be a part of a project where a budget isn't an issue and the two people involved, everyone in the world is obsessed with them.
Right.
It's like a recipe for success, you would think.
And yet, the problem was that they weren't necessarily ready to either disclose everything that was really going on behind the scenes, or I don't know, there was some sort of tug of war happening, because when Meghan went on the 2022 cover of The Cut, this is the article that we covered, by the way, please go back and listen. Mm-hmm. She said something like, I'm so excited to talk. It's like I'm not finding my voice. I've had my voice for a long time, but I'm being able to use it. And then she was like, I have a lot to say until I don't. Sometimes the silent part is still part of the song. And it was quite a confusing way to kind of move forward after being so vocal about her treatment and the fact that she had been abused by the press, and like the members of the family had accused her of bullying, and there was so much stuff flying around, and yet she wasn't really ready to be kind of honest, like be authentic. Mm-hmm. And that was strange.
That's where everyone sort of had pause with her, or it's just like it always feels like it's not the full honest picture.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a great quote here, which another person, also unnamed, who works closely with the couple and loves them, says, "I have no idea what Harry's interests are beyond polo. No clue what his inner life is like." And part of me wonders, I don't know, if they have a real inner life, like if there is anything going on beneath the surface, like there may not be.
Yeah, some people don't actually have passions.
Right.
Like some people, they're not called to make something or try something, and that's fine.
Right.
But then sometimes they try to be like creative figureheads.
And this is exactly what happened here. So they went into podcasting essentially because they thought that that's what celebrities did. They watched the success of someone like Dax Shepard or like Will Arnett and Jason Bateman with Smartless, and they were like, okay, like we need to do something like that. The difference, of course, is that they didn't want to do just a plain interview format. They wanted some sort of theme, some sort of thing to kind of like sink their teeth into, but they didn't really know what that was going to be. So they started throwing out pitches, and that made it tough because they'd signed a big contract with Spotify. It was rumored at the time to be like $20 million, but Spotify has since kind of said, look, we don't disclose, but it wasn't that amount of money, so we don't know. Mm-hmm. But they were sitting on this deal for fucking ages, and they weren't producing anything. Some of the things that they were pitching about it, let me tell you. Harry suggested a concept where he interviewed world leaders, including Mark Zuckerberg, Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, men who'd had challenging earlier lives, and these experiences had turned them into bad people. Mm-hmm. And he was an example, Harry, as someone who had also had a challenging earlier life, but he had become one of the good ones. And he wanted to understand like why his very bad childhood trauma had, when his quote is, "My mother was essentially murdered," why that didn't make him one of the bad guys. That was going to prove a, quote, booking challenge.
Yeah, I think Putin is going to be tough to get into a studio in West Hollywood.
I mean, you call up Mr. Putin in the middle of who's trying to incite World War III currently, yeah, and you say, what's the schedule like for next week? Do you have time to sit down with Harry for just a quick 40 minutes? It's 40 minutes in and out.
He'd love to talk about your childhood.
Yes.
And how you got to be so evil. Sounds fun. It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And I'm just imagining being in those meetings.
I know.
Being the poor Spotify mid-level employee in those meetings going, you know, there's something to it.
Because you're responding live.
Yeah, you're responding live. It's not quite crystallized.
Let me noodle on that.
Let me do some outreach.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Trump. I'm going to go to Zuckerberg. I'm going to speak to their people and see if they'd be willing to come on and just discuss how their mothers abandoned them.
Of course. Of course.
Absolutely insane. And then 2 years pass and they finally came up with the idea for Archetypes. So, oh my God, actually, I can't even get to Archetypes yet because another idea came first. Harry also came into the studio, Ivana. And he asked for a cup of cocoa while he was there. And Spotify was like, oh, fuck. Like, we don't have cocoa. We don't have any cocoa. And
fuck. Fuck.
That's the one fucking thing I want.
I want a cup of hot chocolate whipped cream on the top.
We've got tea. We've got coffee. We've got juice.
We got LaCroix for sure.
Who the fuck didn't buy the cocoa?
They're like shaking like a leaf in the back room. The intern that's like,
So Harry was like, oh my God, like light bulb. What if I went around town and reviewed hot chocolate with a different guest every week? Anna writes,
his team considered and rejected. Another concept was that Harry would fix something every week, ranging from a flat tire to global warming.
In a week. He could do it in a week. Every week.
Global warming.
Something fix.
Global warming in a week.
In a week. In an episode.
I mean, I just...
These are the ideas of a child.
It's hard enough for us to pick a profile to do this week.
Yeah.
For us to be like, who's in the news? Like, how do we choose? Fuck. Yeah. What year?
Mm-hmm.
To fix global warming in a week?
I wouldn't dare attempt.
It is so crazy. And a former Spotify employee, and this is what is so interesting, speaks on record here and says it was really challenging to engage Harry because it was like... talking to someone who just like didn't want to be there. It was clear that he like wasn't the person that like he was really kind, really charming, was really lovely, had the best manners in the world, would stand up when anybody walked in, so friendly to everyone. But his attitude was just like, why should I do this? Why are we doing this? And everyone was like, well, didn't Spotify pay you a lot of money to do this? Like, mm-hmm. this is the whole point. But he's kind of a guy that would just happily work for charities the rest of his life and be like a kept man
mm-hmm.
and have Meghan support him. I mean, she's someone who is very ambitious. She's going to go after it, so to speak. And it seems just like Harry doesn't have that same drive and kind of never did. Has always been in the wind looking for his purpose. And it's not in the Spotify offices.
There are probably creatives listening to this right now, you know, who are understandably frustrated right. at the opportunities given to people with no ideas.
Yes.
But that's often how this works. It's like, you know, people who don't know what they're doing get a bunch of money and power, and people who know exactly what they would do with that money and power are left, you know, to drown in a little river and wait for their chance.
I mean, it's nepotism in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Archetypes came out because Meghan was like, we've got to pull something out. And the whole concept was complicated, says one former Spotify employee. They said that basically it was women coming on to prove that they were an archetype, that they weren't an archetype, but first they had to explain how they had been believed to be that archetype. So it's very complicated. So you had like Mariah Carey be like, everyone thinks I'm a diva. This is why people think I'm a diva. This is what a diva is. But like record scratch, I'm not a diva. And this is how I'm not a diva.
At all.
At all. And then we've got Paris Hilton, who did the same with like Bimbo.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. And it was supposed to be really edgy. It was supposed to be cool. And the whole concept was also that Meghan was going to call up all her friends, her famous friends, going out to Taylor Swift, going out to Beyonce, going out to Megan Thee Stallion. And one after the other, these people fell through, refused to come on. I mean, the fact that she even got Mariah Carey is I think, a big, big get. But what ended up happening with Archetypes and the reason it fell so flat is that it really lost all of its teeth. So there was an episode titled Slut, and that was supposed to center on like trans women's sexuality and how that was being kind of weaponized against them. And at the last minute, Meghan rebranded it to human, being, and they had to completely reimagine the whole episode in production. Then they had an episode on like the word bitch and how like the word bitch had been used against women, and Meghan ended up calling it like the B word. So basically, the Spotify source says that every episode got more and more watered down and further away from the actual conversation that it felt like a woman in gender studies 101 taught in 2003. It's very rough.
Yeah. And true.
And true. And so true. I mean, and this is where we get into the dynamics. So behind the scenes at Archetypes, it started well. There was this atmosphere of professional camaraderie. Everyone loved Meghan. She was really warm. But when things went poorly, often due to like Meghan and Harry's like own demands, like, I don't know, if like a teaser wasn't right, if something was released too soon, what have you, could be anything, Meghan would allegedly become cold and withholding. And she would hold people individually responsible and become like really, really, really awful, is the quote. Very painful. And someone says she was constantly playing checkers. I'm not even going to say she was playing chess, which
brutal. My God.
Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. But she's very aware of where everybody is on her board. And where you are not in, you are to be thrown to the wolves at any given moment. And it gnaws at your sense of self. Really, like, mean girl's teenager. And then someone else has a different, completely differing opinion, says she's just a lovely, genuine person. And this is where things are conflicting, right? Because there were all these reports of when she was in the palace,
yeah,
that she was bullying palace aides. And this is what she took issue with the most. She was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Look at me with my tiny skinny calves and my beautiful white teeth. You think I could be bullying anyone? And this anonymous source here is like, oh, absolutely, I can see that happening. Like, any given Tuesday, I could see that happening. And
it was happening. Any given Tuesday, this was happening.
Oh my gosh, thanks for correcting me.
No,
any given Tuesday, this happened. Oh, I thought he was being hypothetical.
No, I think he's saying like,
any given Tuesday, there was bullying taking place.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I didn't even read that properly.
And bully is tough. I mean, it's when one of the Real Housewives gets called a bully, it's like a slur on that.
It's like a slur. They storm out.
For middle-aged women, there is like no greater offense than being called a bully.
What is it, do you think, about the word bully? I'm like trying to put my finger on it.
I think one, it's ugly. It's an ugly word. It suggests you're an ugly person doing ugly things.
Yeah, that's so true.
And it suggests malice. And it also doesn't sound very smart. Like, you're not tormenting someone. You're a bully. Like, you're a dumb, big, fat bully.
And I think it's also the connotations that we have now with bully of, like, sad, hurt people.
Yeah.
Who just, like, have... who aren't smart. Who have nothing else going for them and have to tear people down as a result.
Like, calling someone mean has less sting to it.
Yeah.
Because it suggests that there's at least an intelligence behind that, that you're able to do something effectively. Mm-hmm. A bully is just like, it's random and it's everyone and it's you. You're a bully.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's an identity versus like a remark.
I think you've got it spot on. This person says you can be yelled at. So, okay, this was the whole thing, is that apparently like there were reports of her like yelling at palace staff. But this person here, I think, makes a really astute point when they say, you can be yelled at even if someone doesn't raise their voice. It's funny that people don't differentiate between the energy of being yelled at and literally somebody screaming at you. And I really wanted to pull this out. I don't know. I just wanted your thoughts as to whether you could harken back to a time where you experienced something like that. Like someone yelling without yelling, someone presenting the energy of just sheer unadulterated anger, but never raising their voice.
Oh, yes. Yes. And it's far more complicated and terrifying in that way. It's happened to me professionally before, like someone being like clearly frustrated, but maintaining so babe, like what we do in this situation. And right. I'm like, I'd rather you just hit me. It would be less painful.
Yes.
Than having to sit through this conversation where I know and you know that you think I'm an imbecile, but you're not raising your voice, but you're doing everything outside of that.
Right.
It's bad. What about you?
I found this like hard to wrap my head around as like a concept beyond like seething anger.
Yeah.
It's like what I was trying to conjure, that kind of like something that is just shrouded in niceness, like pleasantries, but it is like concealing like deep rage that feels more. But what is so scary about that is it's so much harder to report, right? It's so much harder to like take to someone and say, look, I'm getting abused.
Yeah.
Because there's no real proof. It's like getting hurt with no bruises, right?
Yeah, I know. It is. I had a professor in college who was like the person that's in my mind, who hated me. And just like every time she would speak to me about my work or something or whatever, I'd like come to her with normal things and she would just, I could feel the hatred.
What do you think it was?
I have no idea. I think it was because I spoke up, kind of. Like, I really wasn't, like, shy.
I think it's usually jealousy.
how dare you? You should stay in your place, stay in your zone.
Yeah. And I definitely never did stay in my place. Like I, and like if things like, you know, she assigned something where it's like, everyone's going to go to a farmer's market this weekend and report a story. And I was like, oh, I work weekends. Like I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the restaurant. Like, and I need to, and I can't, like, I can't do this on a moment's notice. Can I do it next week? And she was like, no, you'll have to take a zero in that case. And I was like, oh, awesome. This is sick.
I mean, one day I'll tell you the story of the man who tried to fail me.
Oh my God.
You know that story.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh my God. And my university professor?
No.
Who ended up...
We both had professor feuds?
Yeah, well, he reached out to a friend of mine on... A mutual friend on Facebook that he'd taught and asked about me.
Oh my God.
That's Dimitri chiming in at this moment.
Furious. On behalf of his
furious,
mama.
Furious. To literally say, like, what do you know about this girl? She doesn't like me. And then I reported him to the board. And they said, like, they were like, do you want to make a formal complaint? And I said, what would happen? And they said he would lose his job. And I knew he had a 2-year-old daughter and I just couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave everyone in the class for this like talk that we had to do like an A and gave me something like a B minus and stuff like that. It was just super, it was super insidious. Like you couldn't feel it. And then I reached out to be like, what was wrong? And he said, it just simply wasn't as good as everyone else's. And someone cried.
She gave me C's and D's.
Yeah. And someone cried. I was like, but I didn't cry.
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was really like that. And it was only when this friend, like the loose acquaintance friend, sent me a screenshot of their messages that were about me that I was crazy. Like, something is seriously wrong here.
Yeah.
This man has some sort of like
fixated.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I was really outspoken in that class. I like challenged him in a big way.
Yeah.
And they don't like it.
No,
they don't. Challenged.
They do not like it. They do not like it.
But Megan, when she was in school, my God, this is a perfect segue.
We always find our way back.
When she was in school, she was not popular. She tells Mindy Kaling on Archetypes when she's interviewing her that when she attended Immaculate Heart Catholic School in LA, she like never fit in. She had to sit alone at lunch. And so her, I guess, way out was to become super busy. She became president of the French club, president of the multicultural club, president of her sophomore class, because if she was so busy, she would have meetings at lunchtime and she wouldn't notice that she had no friends kind of thing. And I find it interesting here that Anna evokes Taylor Swift. Like she literally drops lyrics in. Anna writes, it brings to mind Swift's Mastermind lyrics. No one wanted to play with me as a little kid, so I've been scheming like a criminal ever since to make them love me and make it seem effortless. God, she's scary.
I know. What?
And this is when I think Anna muses for the first time. Like this is the first time like we get a kind of a take from Anna.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, in other words, Megan was a good person trying to do good things in spite of and at times because of unkind people. And she was like, is it any surprise that a sense of victimhood and righteousness could exist in a person who has been treated horribly by the press and her husband's family, not to mention those little B words at Immaculate Heart? But she's like, that people whom Meghan may have perceived as enemies, members of the Losa media or insiders at the palace, people who actually knew how to make a podcast, or her pitiable father selling secrets and history to tabloids for cash, might have actually seemed to her more powerful than her in some way, despite her immense fame and wealth and privilege. And then whatever happened to them, well, they shouldn't have gotten between Meghan and her good work. As Harry knows, trauma can warp your perspective. I am covered in goosebumps reading that.
Yeah,
shit.
Me too.
I am covered in goosebumps because that is...
I mean, that's a thesis.
That is a thesis and a half, my friend.
It is powerful.
And in halfway through the piece, no less.
I know.
Halfway through the piece.
Every word serves a purpose.
And then now she switches gears. She's getting into Harry. We're talking Spare. Now, anyone who's read Spare, she references an anecdote specifically from Spare where he is in Africa and like insists on sleeping outside, even though there are lions. And the fact that everyone else, like Namibian soldiers and police and rangers, all went to bed inside, but he slept outside. And that just really shows, I mean, he really wants to be one of the people and prove that he,
you know, he's not wrapped in cotton wool. He's willing to do it all, live rough.
Yeah, which is interesting from a royal. But of course you would have that kind of like bone to pick with yourself.
It's trauma tourism. It's like, what can I prove?
Yeah.
I got to prove that I can do anything.
Yeah.
She gets into a little bit of, you know, his family and how he really came for them in his memoir. And she talks about the fact that someone asked if he'd heard from his family in 2023 at some event, and he said he hadn't. And this person was like, oh, do you think you will? And he goes, yeah, like, I hope so. And the source relayed to Anna, like, that's kind of what made me so sad. His hope seemed very genuine. And I was just kind of like, oh no. You know, he didn't seem to understand the power of the written word, the power of the narrative. Like,
yeah, and he had just sold millions of copies of a book that disparaged all of them.
Disparaged all of them. I mean, called his brother bald.
Bald.
In print.
I know. And described him as his arch nemesis.
It's also made it really tough for them to go back to the UK. Harry is in multiple lawsuits. He can't go back for the wedding of one of his closest friends because he now has no royal level protection. I mean, there's a lot of controversy around that as well, as to whether he was even invited to begin with to his longtime friend Hugh Grosvenor, Duke of Westminster's wedding. And if it's maybe the case that he's not going just because Will's going to be there. There's just the classic.
The drama.
The
royals do obviously a lot of evil things, but what they don't do is spill each other's secrets.
Yeah.
And so he's really breaking the mold by doing that.
One source says, I think Harry doesn't know what he wants because he grew up in a fishbowl, so he doesn't know what real life really is. I think he probably wants to be left alone and be able to go kiss babies every once in a while, but not have to worry about money. I don't think he wants to be famous the way Meghan wants to be famous. And that is such an interesting distinction. He wants to retain his privacy and like cherry pick the way that he's famous. He wants to take all the good and leave all the bad.
Yeah.
But she, I think, knows that the good comes with the bad and she's willing to have it all.
Yeah. Well, and she grew up like fairly normal compared to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like she went to a high school. She had
She chose
life
this.
Experience.
She chose this.
Yeah, she was like a working actress for many years.
Right. He never chose this.
Yeah.
And now he's chosen differently. But also I feel like has no passion that he can really monetize in a way to live the lifestyle that he's accustomed.
And I mean, the hot chocolate idea is glaring proof of that. Where it's like, what could you do if you could do anything?
Hot chocolate.
Review hot chocolate. And not a life you can make out of that, really.
No. Harry and Meghan are deeply in love. They are so hot for one another, someone who works closely said. Like, you know how you meet those couples and you're like, the way that they're looking at each other, it's like, I should not be here right now. That's how they describe them.
I believe it.
It did make me feel a bit icky.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's a bit like non-sexual for me. It's really
certainly.
And he's really, really protective of her, mostly because he compares her a lot to Diana, for better or worse. He said in 2019 in a statement to the press, my deepest fear is history repeating itself. I've seen what happens when someone I love is commoditized to the point that they are no longer treated or seen as a real person. I lost my mother and now I watch my wife falling victim to the same powerful forces. So he's absolutely vigilant about Meghan's safety. I mean, he used to be really chill with the press. I think he used to have a good relationship with them. Kind of used to like chat to paparazzi, and that is absolutely no more.
No, and they had that car chase.
They had a car,
that like highly publicized car chase.
Dangerous car chase.
Could have died.
Yeah, yeah.
That Anna qualifies by saying that there were no injuries, collisions, or charges filed.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's interesting because we kind of go back to Meghan here, and a lot of people like bring up the fact that Kate, Diana, only after they were engaged did they have official kind of profiles.
Yeah.
She, when she was the longtime girlfriend of Harry, had her first Vanity Fair cover. Again, that is totally breaking the mold. And at the same time, all these kind of, you know, reports came out. I mean, her quotes that she had never Googled Prince Harry, that she had never looked up the etiquette for meeting the Queen of England. She didn't know she was supposed to curtsy. And that was really taken a particular way by a lot of people because she comes across as someone who's going to check a menu out online before she's even going to go to the restaurant and pick out what she's going to eat. Mm-hmm. Like, she's someone who does her research. And to go and meet the Queen of England, I mean, I think you're going to watch a YouTube video, I'm sure. You're just going to know the basics. I mean, it's like going on like Duolingo before you go to a country, a foreign language.
Yeah,
like
just at least learn hello.
Yeah, bonjour. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, merci beaucoup. Like, yeah. it's base level.
Yeah.
And that was really confusing. And there was a lot of questions about her fidelity to the truth at this time. I mean, she made repeated claims that she was forced to wear neutrals, but now looking at her wardrobe, she wears all the same stuff. Don't you just love a nice cream color palette?
She seems to.
She seems to. I mean, can you look at the cover of this magazine? I don't think the royals picked out this.
It's camel, it's cream.
And it suits her.
Yeah.
She looks great in it.
Oh my God, yeah. And not everybody does.
No, not everyone can pull that off.
No.
This all led to a lot of conflict with the family. I mean, it just was one thing after another. Here's where they kind of incite a celebrity commentator from Lainey Gossip, Elaine Louis. And it's so interesting. Her takes are so fascinating. The way she's talking about Meghan and Harry's tours and what they represent and the work that they did together and how Archwell, this is their nonprofit arm, came out the gate, you know, absolutely on a high of making $13 million a year in 2021. That's what they reported. And then they grossed as a charity only $2 million the next year. And then they haven't reported 2023 and 2024 mm-hmm. earnings. And it's kind of like, okay, so you have like a good track record, kind of, but that's all associated with being royal. So how are you doing on your own two feet?
Yeah. And she sort of juxtaposes that to like an Angelina Jolie, which right. the profile that we did of her was sort of all about her charitable work and like wanting to go to these places that were either war torn or struggling in some way with famine or whatever and raise awareness. And the way that that works is that she is a very notable celebrity and she's sort of lending her celebrity to this cause or yep. this organization of like, I'm Angelina Jolie with Red Cross. And they're here and they're trying to do two things at once. Like, they're trying to be famous and they're trying to be the organization, but it's not doing exactly what you'd want it to of like raising like massive amounts of money or massive amounts of awareness. It mostly just positions them as like, here we are in Afghanistan.
The other part of it is just like, who are they? Who are they in
apart
this?
From the royals? Like right. when they're not a part
when
of the
not,
royal
when
family.
They're not royals, who are they to yeah. any to anything? Angelina Jolie is still a famous like Oscar-winning actress. Like
yeah.
what are their credentials? Which is incredibly dark, but it is just the reality in this case. They are now in this kind of American aristocracy. They're hanging out with like the Paramount Global co-CEO Brian Robbins. They're hanging out with Mindy Kaling and socialite Delphine.
Oprah.
I know. Oprah, Tracy Robbins. Like, she mentions yeah. a lot of people whose names I honestly haven't heard of. and not like I'm, no, I yeah, feel, yeah. you know, this is just, I'm sure these people wield a lot of power, but they stay behind the scenes and yeah. they look down on people who are too public or too thirsty. And that is really at odds with Meghan's whole identity because she is going to be very much in front of the camera, especially in her new show with Love, Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
Although Anna does note all of these people will be appearing in her new docuseries. So,
yeah. God, I can't wait to watch.
I can't wait to watch. And speaking of the famous people in their orbit, my God, they are living in one of the most celebrity-filled enclaves in California, my love.
I mean, Montecito is...
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Let me throw a few names at you who have coexisted alongside them in Montecito. Natalie Portman, Michael Douglas, Gwyneth Paltrow, Adam Levine, whew, Leonardo DiCaprio, Neil Young, Daryl Hannah, Michael Keaton, of course Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
So many Montecidians. Scott Disick,
yeah.
The one and only. Katy Perry, who's had some legal issues with real estate, and Ellen DeGeneres, who is hated apparently in Montecito.
Yes, so I do know that.
Did you know that before this?
I did.
No way.
I, through a friend of a friend whose parents lived in Montecito, was telling, they told me some gossip about Ellen and how everyone hates her.
Well, this is in the pages of Vanity Fair now that apparently she flips houses off market and then has driven up the price of all the homes in Montecito. So everyone's like, fuck Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, how could you do this?
That is crazy.
I know. She's fled the country. She's fled.
I know, with the fires.
Yeah.
But prior to that, the COVID, no, what was it? There was something.
Well, she now lives in England. I mean, the cancellation and everything, but also it was the flipping of the houses. Like, everyone in her community turned on her, and she's like in London now, just like, I'm like recalibrating.
Equally unpopular now is Harry and Meghan, mostly because they're famously there. And everyone knows it. And so they have a lot of, you know, tourists kind of looking for them up there. People trying to hike the trails that Meghan has been photographed hiking. Oh my God. I just have to wait. I'm sorry. I have to read this one quote from one unnamed Montecidian.
Oh, yeah.
I still think they're the most entitled, disingenuous people on the planet. They moved away from England to get away from the scrutiny of the press. And all they do is try and get in the press in the United States. Oof. Elaine Louie from Lainey Gossip comes back in and says, I think something that is just like, so beautifully put. She says, you can't cherry pick the good parts of fame and leave out the bad parts. She's like, all the celebrities do this. They're like, don't take photos of me. But then they're like, oh, here, let me step out conveniently and get papped. Only give me good reviews of my movie or album. And if you don't like my music, I'm going to post on Instagram that you're a shitty reviewer. And it's true. I mean, that's that is famous people in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And when she talks about Meghan and her new ventures and what she's trying to do with this Riviera stuff, she's like, it's giving the Tig to me, which is her old lifestyle brand. She's like, American Riviera Orchard is like 2014 to me. It's not 2024. Fame arrests you at the moment it arrives. Best quote I've ever read. Fame arrests you at the moment it arrives.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Put me in handcuffs, baby.
Yeah.
That's me today.
No, so true.
Fame arrests you at the moment it arrives. And I wonder if that is your health and wellness lifestyle version of that, where she had to suspend the Tig and quit it the moment that she became Harry's girlfriend, then fiance, and then wife. American Riviera Orchard is just picking up from where the Tig left off.
And you know, not everybody evolves with the times.
It's hard to.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It requires really hard deep to keep up. Thinking.
Yes. And you need people around you. You need the right people around you who is informing you.
And real creativity and vision also you need.
I mean, the cocoa to bring it back.
Yeah.
It's just, that's not the times, is it?
No.
That's just a delicious chocolatey drink.
Yeah. It's fun, but
for at Christmas time.
Yeah.
In the winter.
I had one actually right before I came here.
No, yeah. Oh, you,
I did.
That's so classic.
I did,
and
I didn't even realize what I was doing.
I'm not even buying into this. I'm sorry.
It was bone broth though. So it wasn't. It was a bone broth hot chocolate.
Of course it was.
Beef hot chocolate.
Yes. Jesus Christ. Remember when you were vegetarian? Those were the days.
I know. A lot simpler.
And here we get into one of the most contentious parts of the profile. I'm looking at you, page 6, because this is the aggregation of all aggregations right here. It is rumored that a few years ago, someone circulated in the publishing world whether or not a book might be of interest from Meghan Markle. The topic of this book, Ivana, a post-Harry divorce memoir. Now, you'll note, they're still married. No divorce has happened. But would that have been of interest? Now, a source says, if that's true to any degree, she would have been approached and not vice versa. No offer was made and no manuscript was produced. After all, there was no divorce. I mean, if that's true,
terrifying.
That is so calculated.
They're just throwing spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah.
Literally. It's like, is this anything? Is this anything?
Yeah.
Could this be good?
What about a divorce? A quick divorce back together? Yeah. Imagine the headlines.
Reconciliation. Oh,
nothing like it.
Yeah.
They love a comeback story.
Yeah.
True love together again.
And this is the thing also is like the quiet part that we haven't spoken of is it's like, it's not just any couple that can be on the cover of Vanity Fair without quotes from them even.
I know.
That's not every couple. That's very few couples in the world.
I mean, Kim and Kanye didn't get it. They are that modern royalty. That is what it is.
Yeah.
Even without the title.
I know, it is a fairy tale story. We all bought into.
It would continue being so if they divorced and reconciled. Like
yeah.
It would be.
Then it becomes a modern day fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can see yourself in her.
And that's always been her bit.
Yeah.
That's always been her bit.
And that's kind of what everyone screamed at the top of their lungs. It's like, I have nothing in common with you.
Well, they did that after she got married.
Yeah.
I think prior it was like, I have everything.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been me.
Yeah, it could have been me.
It's the discovery in the mall.
I think they don't know what change the world means, says a person who's worked in their media projects. I think they are people who are looked at as people who want to change the world. But to point out the modesty, Anna writes, of that world bettering feels like contributing to the essential problem of Harry and Meghan. No matter what they do, they just can't win. If, I guess, you don't count the overwhelming portion of their beautiful lives that exists outside of Daily Mail headlines and blog comment sections. Mm-hmm. If Harry's burden is the softer pressure of no expectations, Meghan's might be the opposite. The betrayal of not living up to an unachievable idea. I think the whole world was waiting for her to be that person, and then she never jumped, the source who worked in the media says. Diana walked amongst landmines. Meghan couldn't even say the word slut. That is absolutely skewering.
Do you think she's read it?
They have absolutely read it. And I mean, royal commenters, I mean, people have weighed in, Mama. Yeah. There has been a response. People are saying that she is freaking out. They have certainly read it. So there have now been rumors of a potential cancellation of her show.
No.
Yep. Because of the bullying allegations.
Of course.
So this is...
That doesn't work. You can't put on a floral apron if you're a bully. It doesn't work that way.
I mean, Martha Stewart did it. Come on.
That's true, but... But she went to prison. She paid her time.
That's true. I mean, we love to see some penance. We love penance.
Yeah.
She has been called Duchess Difficult. That came out in the Hollywood Reporter even prior to this. It's been rumored that she's absolutely freaking out. She's panicking.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I think like our official statment always... Believe women,
yes.
You know, society does develop campaigns, but in this case specifically with like production staff mm-hmm. members at a podcast company with nothing to gain or lose, anonymous sources mm-hmm. and in the multiples, not one, mm-hmm. not two, I think like three or four at least, mm-hmm. maybe five, all saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. Like it isn't an invented.
And these will be women. Like these will mostly be women for sure. And I think, look, like we started out with Blake Lively, and that is another case of like a woman that we believed wholeheartedly off the basis of women are 99% of the time telling the truth in situations like these.
Yeah.
And it is so devastating to think that a woman might have, you know, fuzzied up what happened because it puts all those other women in jeopardy. But these are people in positions of immense power who are maybe abusing these positions of power. And we can't forget that.
Yeah.
You know, women aren't one note. Women aren't all good. Women are multidimensional. And when women are given these kind of platforms, they can be just as manipulative, just as evil, just as whatever, you know. Women have contained multitudes.
Yeah.
And I think that is proven here.
No, and I mean, celebrities, you know, they give us a lot, but they never promised us morality.
No.
They never promised us that they would be our compass, our guiding light as to like what is good, how to be a good human being in the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to correct you there. Blake Lively, maybe. Meghan Markle, absolutely. She is our compass. She is all that is good in the world. She mm-hmm. is change the world for the better. She is our North Star. She is smiling and shaking the hands of orphans and hugging them. She is Princess Diana. She is that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why this is so damning.
Yeah.
Because this is not what you're projecting. This is not what you want us to buy into.
Yeah.
You've got to be behind closed doors who you are in front of that camera.
I know. You have to be. You have to be. And this is also, I think, why Martha... There is some grace for Martha because
she's the same.
She's the same.
She's the same.
It's like she's a perfectionist. She only holds other people to the standards she holds herself to.
We see Martha in her documentary being like, pick up the fucking pot or I will kill you.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just kind of like, okay.
Cut that orange like you're smart.
Yes.
Try to not be dumb for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like.
And you're kind of like, well, you know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
But similar allegations, like similar, you know, media narrative of mm-hmm. like the wife becomes a witch.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I'm fascinated by her. I really don't, I would be happy to never hear anything else about her.
Yeah.
But I will say to the Argos, like, this is a little peek behind the curtain from our end. Our Meghan Markle episode is our most listened to episode. It continues to be, which is so strange. It is one that we didn't want to necessarily do.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we sent it to the writer, Alison P. Davis, who responded really beautifully, really gracefully. We won't share what she said for the sake of her privacy, but it was a tough time for her. She was absolutely hounded by the press in the wake of that. So anything to do with Meghan is just, it's a fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah.
It is just, it's totally incendiary.
Yeah.
And it's wild that one woman is able to cause such a ruckus. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the royals and the fact that we don't have them here. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But she is able to incite a frenzy.
And I do think the royals has a lot to do with it. Like, friends at publications who are on staff talk about how, like, no content can compete with royals content.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Again.
Piling on.
Put it there, sister. Yeah. Us just... I was just absolutely feeding into it. My God.
We have to carve our own way.
And if you know a royalist out there, send this to them.
Tell them to subscribe to the Patreon.
And hit subscribe.
We have a monarchy too.
We have, oh my God.
We've got the upper tier, the lower tier. We've got a little class system on the Patreon.
Absolutely.
And we'd love you to get involved.
You can choose whether you want to be a queen, a king, a jester. It's all there.
All are welcome. All are welcome.
And you can buy your way in.
God, thank God for that. 1,200 years, long time.
We leave you with that. We love you so much. We will see you next week. My God, stew. Take a stew on that.
Lord.
Wow.
Lord.
Vanity Fair, baby. They did it again.
They do. They always do.
All right.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode. Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.